Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Phrasal Verb plus Expat Life podcast. Have you ever heard this song? What does that mean? Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Today's episode is about the word order in separable phrasal verbs. So that is transitive, separable phrasal verbs. First, I want to just take a minute to invite you to my new Facebook group. It's a Facebook group for introverted language learners. So there's a 50% chance that that could be you. So if you identify as an introvert and you are a language learner, then come to my Instagram. You'll find a link in my bio there. I try to keep everything on my Instagram, so come there. The Instagram is at empanada de nada, arro empanada de nada. So today's episode is about separable phrasal verbs and the word order. And I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about when phrasal verbs go wrong, or that is, whenever you get the word order wrong. And well, that's the whole problem, right? Like, it's not hard to Google some phrasal verbs and see their definition. The problem comes when you try to use it in a sentence and you don't know if you can separate it or not, and then you don't know if it has a direct object or not. So, why does this matter? It matters because if you mix the word order of phrasal verbs, often it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to show you some examples of that later. So, back to the song. What he's saying is take on me, and then he repeats it, and then he says take me on. Okay. This is a super famous song, so there's a good chance that you have heard it. Ask yourself what meaning you make of that. I would love, actually, if you would send me a DM on Instagram and tell me what that means to you, how you have interpreted it. So for native English speakers, the truth is that we have never fully understood what that means. But we accept it and we love it because it's a great song. Music is usually metaphorical and it's open for interpretation. I mean, metaphorical, but open for interpretation. So it's not just completely set in its metaphor. That's part of what makes it, personal and poetic. So we have always accepted this meaning of the song as, like, somewhat mysterious. The feeling of the song, the music, the tempo, the vibe, and the rest of the lyrics, provide a certain feeling. So we try to match those words in the chorus with that feeling, but it's just not clear what those words mean. This isn't terribly uncommon with music and lyrics, but what is uncommon is that this is not grammatically correct. And often music is not grammatically correct. You will realize if you start learning with music. So yeah, music's not grammatically correct, but the misorder of words is precisely what makes it confusing. We don't misorder our words. But this all made sense to me once I realized that the band is Norwegian and it is a mistranslation. So let's take a look at what this phrasal verb means. So the phrasal verb is take on. It is transitive, so it has a direct object. You have to take on something or someone. So the first definition, we have two. The first definition, take on something, to accept some work or responsibility. Here it is together, not separated. She is really taking on a lot of work these days, or working mothers take on a lot. So it is used often to talk about work and responsibilities. Okay, the second meaning. Here it is separated, and it means to fight or compete against someone. This is not totally different from the first meaning. If you imagine that, accepting some work is, like competing, or if you're battling the work, it depends on how competitive your culture is, but a lot of people in the United States are, well, no, most people, the culture is very work and goal and results driven and oriented. So people often enjoy taking on challenges and taking on a lot of work. So the second meaning is to fight or compete against someone. It's also often used for competitive or sporting events. So here it is together. The Chicago Bulls will take on the Mets next Saturday. I didn't check that when I wrote the definition. I don't know if Mets are a basketball team. Oh my God. Separate, our team will take them on. Okay, so there are a couple of other less common meanings, but I'm gonna leave the link to the Macmillan Dictionary entry for take on in the show notes. So, with that knowledge from the previous definition, we can understand that take me on would mean to fight me, but that seems unlikely if you read the rest of the lyrics. So it must be to accept the hard work or the responsibility of me, of being with me. But to me, I understand this in terms of dating, because the song is about that. I understand this in terms of dating as something like, well, I'm a difficult, complicated person, so are you up for the challenge? Or can you handle the challenge? Can you take me on? I mean, it's strange. It's a strange thing to say, at least for the US culture, to be so outwardly self-deprecating. That means self-deprecating means to say negative things about yourself. But okay, got it. Can you take me on? But then when he says take on me, it just truly doesn't make sense. So I don't know, probably a lot of people hear this and they imagine that it means nothing at all. It's just that they've played with the words and they just moved the words for no reason, like for fun or something. But to take on me, it doesn't make sense. And this is why it's important to know if phrasal verbs are separable or not. So you're probably wondering, okay, but how do I know if phrasal verbs are intransitive or transitive, separable or inseparable? Well, I talk about this in the first episode or the second episode, all about phrasal verbs. Why are they so confusing? But the answer is you cannot know this, and especially if you have a tutor or a teacher and you ask them this question, they're probably not going to know. It's not something that we know. If it's a teacher who has studied phrasal verbs, which most of us do not study that, then they can think about it or look it up and find the answer. But it's not something like, if you ask me, is that a regular or irregular verb? I know the answer, but this is something we don't know. So you have to look it up. Look it up is a great phrasal verb. I think you know what it means. It means to research it on the internet or a dictionary. So I always recommend Macmillan Dictionary. I'm sure there's others, but not all dictionaries tell you this information. For example, Cambridge doesn't tell you this information. And remember that when you want to search for this, It's best to search for example, take on phrasal verb or hang out phrasal verb, so that it doesn't search for the words separately. You might also search take on phrasal verb definition. Okay. And one other tip I have given again in the second episode is so the dictionaries actually don't tell you if they're separable or not, but here's how you know. The dictionary entries will say take something on. And if you see that that something is in between the phrasal verb, then you know it's separable. So many lists of phrasal verbs are also written this way. You know, they'll say take on something or take something on. And now that you know this concept exists, you can look out. That means to be aware. You can look out for that. So remember, when you have a separable phrasal verb, if you're using a pronoun instead of the name of the person or the thing, you have to separate it. Okay, that's the rule. Here is the rule with word order of separable phrasal verbs. Separable are always transitive. If the direct object is a pronoun, so that's like me, you, I, we, etc., it has to go in the middle of the phrasal verb. That means it has to be separate. You cannot say hang up it, for example, but you can say hang up the phone. So you can, I mean, it's the exact same meaning. If you use the pronoun, you can't have it together. And right, so you can say hang up the phone, but not hang up it. And you can say hang it up or hang the phone up, but not hang up it because it is a pronoun. Let's look at some other examples. Okay, so I will briefly explain what these phrasal verbs mean, but I won't go into too much detail. The first one, hand over. So maybe the most common meaning of hand over is to give something to someone physically. So you have something in your hands and someone wants it in their hands. So hand over could be hand it over. I'm saying it. Do you hear? Hand it over. Hand it over. Naturally pronounced as hand it over. So you have to have the pronoun it in between hand and over. You could also say hand over the paper. So if you do not use the pronoun, you can put it at the end. And then this is less common and used for emphasis whenever you separate the phrasal verb, and in between you put the thing, but not the pronoun, like hand the paper over. When I say emphasis, I mean when we speak slowly and clearly, like hand the paper over, because I'm angry or something. But you cannot say hand over it. You must put it in the middle because it's a pronoun. Okay, let's look at the same phrasal verb but with a different pronoun. Because this is more similar to our example in the song of take me on, take on me. So imagine this is about a kitten. Okay, the word is kitten, but we don't pronounce those T's. Kitten. It's a baby cat. Imagine that your sister is holding a kitten and you want to hold the kitten. So you could say, hand her over. Hand her over. But not hand over her. You have to put the pronoun in between the phrasal verb. Or to keep it together, you could use not the pronoun and say hand over the kitten. And then the weird version, which is separate and not using the pronoun, hand the kitten over, used for emphasis. So you can say hand her over. Or hand over the kitten, but not hand over her. Okay, here's a new phrasal verb. Back up has a few different meanings. One is to maybe save information in another place just in case, like you need to back up those files on your computer. But in this example, I'm using it to mean reverse a car. So back it up. Back it up. Naturally pronounced back it up. But not back up it. You have to put the pronoun in between the phrasal verb. You could also say back up the car. And then the less common used for emphasis, back the car up. Okay, and the last one, this is a phrasal verb that we talked about in a previous episode, figure out. So, figure it out. This is a really common way to say this. Figure it out. Figure it out. But, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I meant to have this as figure him out because my example here is about a man. Okay, so figure him out. Figure him out means I just don't understand this man in general. He's so strange, so weird. I don't understand him. I can't figure him out, but not figure out him. So we could also say figure out that man, or the less common used for emphasis version, figure, I cannot figure that man out. So in these examples, you know, if you have good pronunciation, good vocabulary, and good everything, and your clarity isn't compromised in other ways, you should still be understood if you said something like back up it. You know, if the person knew you were talking about a car or figure out him. But this is important. Sometimes students think, oh, why are we talking about these tiny details? Like, won't someone understand me from the context? Like I said, yes, if you're not making other small mistakes, but we all make lots of small mistakes. Our pronunciation is not perfect. Our word choice isn't perfect. Our intonation, our word stress is not perfect, you know? When you say something as simple as container instead of container, your clarity is already compromised. So, although you might be understood, you might not be understood if you get that word order wrong. So, when it comes to poetry and music, and it's not so obvious, so, I mean, what does this mean? What does take on me mean in this song? So, I've done a good amount of research into this, and I'm not certain, and I don't speak Norwegian, but I read somewhere that this was actually a mistranslation. So, it wasn't that he was playing with the words and just moving them around. Apparently, it was poorly translated. And what they wanted to say was something that is like, touch me. So when he says, take on me, I think it's supposed to mean touch me. And that is not conveyed at all by take on me. So the meaning, because of the mistranslation, is actually completely lost. But we still have a great song out of it. Well, that's everything for today. I hope that you found this helpful. If you feel like supporting this podcast, there's a link in the podcast description where you can donate. And remember, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me through Instagram. My new Instagram name is at English.4.introverts. English for introverts with a period between each word. You can also come and join our Facebook group if you're also an introverted language learner. There's a link for that in the bio of my Instagram. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.